way. An invisible line, you get all cleaned up, your sins are forgiven, and then you're going around, well, where's the peace, where's the joy, where's the meaning? You got that cleaning part, but you haven't found that peace and that joy, you haven't found that purpose. And so this series of messages I've called My, because there's some personal things you can do that makes it My. Because we're all unique and we're different, and I've challenged you over the last 4 weeks and wrapping it up today that one way that helps me in my life is that I have my life verse. I have a Bible verse that just speaks to my heart, that speaks to my life. And if you've been here for a while, you know, God, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And that's a verse that no matter what's happening in my life, I walk up and that graffiti's on the wall and it's like, I can cover that. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I don't have to kill him. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. You know, and we have that. I have that verse, and then I shared a message on some. How about some inspirational music? Music speaks to our heart, and that there's some songs that just kind of pick you up and kind of lift you up, and so you have my inspirational music, and then last week I talked about my biblical mentor, that you read the Bible, you spent time in God's Word, and there's a Bible character there's an individual in the Bible that just seems to stand out to you, besides Jesus, okay. You know, and I shared Moses. I shared some. You can have Abraham or Elijah or you can have Paul or Peter. There's all sorts of Bible characters. You know, Naomi for women or Ruth or Esther. There's all sorts of Bible characters that can just, it's just like, man, it does something when I think about Moses for me. You know, 40 years of leadership of 2 million people, taking them to the promised land. And that just speaks to me as a pastor. And so I had these. And this morning I want to go this, that there are, just like there are biblical mentors, there need to be some spiritual mentors. Individuals in your life that encourage you. Individuals in your life that challenge you. Individuals in your life that kind of hold you accountable. Individuals in your life that kind of move with you, that walk with you, that have a significant impact in your life. And so these are what I'm going to call your spiritual mentors. And I gave you definitions in your outline. Let me encourage you to get your outline out. You can follow along. There's blanks to fill out. You can kind of see what's going on here. Here's a mentor: a wise and trusted counselor or teacher, an influential senior sponsor or supporter, someone who teaches or gives help and advice to a less experienced and often younger person. Somebody that you're walking through life. And as I go through, I'm going to share some of my mentors with you as I go through this with you. You know, and I want you to kind of get a picture of those who kind of have an impact. 71% of businesses, it's very important to mentor their workers. Most of us that are involved with schools, and I'm on a school board and some are teachers here, we talk about kids who are at high risk, and you want to try to get them to connect to another adult who can mentor them. Anybody involved or heard those conversations? That you want them to mentor someone, because when a child ties to somebody significant, somebody in their life going through school... For me, when I was going to school, you know who I hung around with? It wasn't teachers. I hung around with the gym buddy. You know, I hung around with the custodians is who I ran around with at school. You know, and then, you know, you'd get there early and you'd hang around with the custodian. Can I help you sweep? Can I, you know? But somebody who could tie you, you know, it's a mentor. Somebody, you know, you're more likely to have a better attitude, to succeed, to finish school. And we talk about mentors. And so I just kind of want to bring this to that we need as Christians, that if I want a better life, I need to find someone in my life who can influence me. I need to find some people in my life who can walk with me and be with me and speak with me and speak into me. I need to have those in my life, and I'm going to call them spiritual mentors. And I want to say every one of us as Christians need this. Every believer needs mentors in your life. We need those who can speak to us, who can walk with us. If you want a better life, like I say, it's like going to the gym. Isn't it nice to have somebody at the gym, you belong to the gym, to get a coach? Anybody? You know, somebody to kind of tell you, okay, do this, kind of encourage you. You know, one more, you can do two more. You know, somebody just to motivate you. You know, somebody just to kind of, you can do it, you know. You know, what do they call it, spot you? You know, I'd get one, finish it. You know, and that's what a mentor does. And we need those in our lives. We need those individuals in our life. And so I want to make sure you know, here's what it says. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counseling. I circled that word acquire. You got to seek it. You got to pursue it. You know? It's like I'm going to put the book on my head and osmosis is going to drain the knowledge right in, right? All right. You know? Okay, I'll get it. It says, you know, you got to acquire it. You got to pursue it, seek it. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I'm going to challenge you this morning to think about individuals in your life who can make your life better. And I begin with this fact. If you're looking at your outline, mentoring relationships are biblical. It's biblical. It is God's word. It is taught throughout the scriptures. You can see those teachings, you can see those examples. You know, you can read, as you read the word, you can see Moses and Joshua. Or you can read and you can see Naomi and Ruth. You can see Elijah and Elijah. You can see these mentoring relationships. And Paul really describes it well in his letter to Timothy. Timothy was a leader that Paul was mentoring. Timothy was a leader that Paul was pouring his life into. And look at how Paul wrote this to him as a leader of his church. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, fastness. All right? There's older men. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so to train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at the home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge younger men to be self-controlled. He's painting a picture here of mentoring. That those who are older, whether you're a man or a woman, should mentor those who are younger. We should invest in those who are younger. We're getting ready to go back and we're going to have, and you see a little circle here, and some of you are going, what is all this stuff on the floor? It is called, anybody? It's called Awana. To me, Awana is a great mentoring program. You know, it's a great opportunity to bring the children in and to have them see and to experience some older, more mature Christians. And here's what's up to me as I think about that. I'm going to make sure I paint the picture because it's biblical. It's funny what I've observed over the years. Little preschoolers look up to children, right? Don't they run around with the little preschoolers run around with the children. The children run around with teenagers. The teenagers run around with college students, right? You know, it just keeps going right on up. Then you get to my age, and I don't know, what do? Yeah. Well, here, I'm going to tell you what I do as we go through the message. But you know what I'm saying? We always, it's a biblical principle. It's taught in the scripture that we are to walk with one another. We're to be with one another. It's biblical. The scripture says, right at creation, it is not good for man to be alone. See, we weren't created to live in isolation. We're created to be in a relationship with others. So it's biblical. It's desirable. It's something we want. It's a necessary thing in our lives to get those in our lives to speak to us, to be a part of our lives. I get frustrated as a pastor when I hear somebody, and I've heard this, I don't need anybody but God. I'm going to tell you what, you're a fool. We need one another. It's biblical. Matter of fact, I put it, if you look here, I gave you two examples of it. Here's a guy named Saul who becomes Paul. Okay, just kind of give you a little Bible history here. Saul was a guy who was of a Jewish descent. He was high up in the hierarchy of the Judaism. He was there when they were stoning Christians. He liked it so much, he decided he wanted to do it for a living. All right? He was a coat taker. What do they call those? A coat check clerk? You know, and now he's going to go out and kill Christians himself. Gets his letters and he's going out to kill. But God intercedes and God steps into his life. and he becomes a believer. He crosses that line and he becomes a believer. But everybody in town's afraid of him. Is it a trick? Is he playing a game? Is he trying to find out if we're believers or not so he can kill us too? And nobody wanted to do anything with him. So he just kind of went off to another town and hung around in that town for a while. And then some churches were sprouting up and they needed some help. So a guy named Barnabas, look at what it says. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they went with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples called Christian. Barnabas comes along and says, Saul, you're going to become Paul, and I'm going to mentor you. I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to show you the ropes, and I'm going to show you how this is done, and I'm going to get you the acceptance and the opportunities you need. See, he's that mentor. And what's interesting, after Barnabas mentored Saul, who became Paul. Don't you like that kind of say that quickly? Yeah. Paul begins to mentor young men himself. Titus was one. Here's one with Timothy. Look at what it says here. But you, Timothy, certainly know that I teach you and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I've endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. Sin, you've been with me. I've showed you. I've taught you. We've walked through this together. And now Paul had mentored Timothy and is sending Timothy out in ministry. See, it's a biblical principle. It's to mentor, and it's taught throughout the scriptures. But also that it's not only biblical. I put it this way, if you're looking at the outline, mentoring is necessary. We need it. I need people in my life. I need those that are around me that will encourage me. You know, life is not always fun. Is life always fun? Anybody here? Life is just a bed of roses, right? Just cruising along. Life is so much fun. I never have a problem. I'm a Christian. Anybody ever have a life like that? Life's a battle, even for Christians. Yeah? And it's nice to have somebody in that battle. I want somebody to have my back. I give some people a bad time all the time. It's like, yeah, I have your back. If they hang you, I'm just going to push on you. You know? Just to harass people. Yeah. No, we got to have one another's back. We're there with one another. We're for one another. Look at what it says. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son. They're talking about experiencing life together. They're talking about being with one another. Talking about sharing the journey through this world together. See, we need to walk with one another. We need to be there for one another. Things are going to happen in our life that are not good. Anybody? 2 years ago, right before I was preaching, 10 minutes before I was preaching, I was going to drive up to Sacramento. My mom had Alzheimer's. She just got released from care. She goes to stay home Friday. And 10 minutes before I'm coming up to preach, my wife and I, Sunday, right after church, we're going to drive up to see my mom. And 10 minutes before I preach, I get a phone call. Guess who passed away? My mom. I get up, I preach God's word, and then afterwards, I'm a basket case. But you know what? You guys surrounded me. You guys came. We need one another. Anybody on board with that? You know, we need to have people who are walking with life, somebody that's going to be with us. We're going to have tragedies. That's mine. You know, I get the phone calls and I hear the heartache. You know, and it's not just death. And how about losing a job? Being in debt over our heads? Struggling marriages? Anybody? Am I online? See, we need those people walking with us through life. It's necessary. It's needed in our lives, and it's what goes in our lives. You know, they're going to watch how do you deal with that suffering? How do you deal with your marriage? People are watching. They're observing us. It's fun. I watch my grandkids, and they catch me saying things and doing things, and you know, they're watching. You know, if you got grandkids, I'm going to tell you what, your grandkids are watching you. You know, they might not be looking. They might have their hoodie pulled over playing Pokemon. But you know what? You do something crazy, and they'll know it, and they'll call you on it. Am I right? See, it's necessary. We got to be understanding. It's something that's happening all around us, and we need to see it, but it's an amazing opportunity, isn't it? It's an amazing opportunity for us to minister and to serve and to be with some others and to help some others. And that's part of what we do. Look again what it says here. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help him. That someone who falls alone is in real trouble. It's necessary to have people with you. It's necessary to be walking with somebody. We need those individuals in our life, and it's part of who we are and part of what we do, and we need to see that. It's desperately needed in our lives to have those relationships. And every one of us need those relationships. It's biblical, and it's necessary. It's taught in the Scripture, and we need it. But I want to make sure you get a picture. There's different kinds of mentors. And I got a list of about six of them here I want with you. And I'm going to talk about some of the individuals in my life. But I want you to think about some individuals in your life, or maybe somebody in your life that you might want in this area of your life, okay? I want you to think about this. I want you to see that. Listen to what it says here, Proverbs 19:20. Listen to advice and accept instructions that you may gain wisdom in the future. I know everything. Anybody? My kids come at you. My kids come at you. Can I tell you something? I tell my kids all the time. I know everything. Can I ask you something? I know everything. I give my grandkids all the time. I give the kids a bad time. I know everything. You know? I got Google. We don't know everything. We need some help here, and so we can learn from that. So here's six of them real quick, okay? You have distant mentors. These are individuals that you might not know personally, but you know you're associated with them. For me, this is individuals like a guy named Tom Rainer. Tom Rainer does a podcast that he's wrote books that I read, and I enjoy reading. Every book he's wrote, I've read. I enjoy reading what he writes, and the knowledge that I gained from him reading. There's Ed Young Jr., a pastor over in Texas that I got to see preach. I hear him on podcasts, and I read some of his books. And so it's distance. There's people that you don't know but that you read. Is there readers? Is there somebody that speaks to your life that you read and that you study? Besides the Bible, okay? Let me make sure, you know. I got Peter, Paul, and John. I got some of them guys too. All right? But yeah, so there's some distant mentors, some individuals you may not know but that you enjoy, that speak to you, and that speak into your life. And then I put down here, how about some occasional mentors? These are individuals who have kind of a short-term impact on your life. I put things in here like I had a directors of missions when I was in Willits, California, Carol Whistler. He was a special individual for me, and he really helped me when I was first pastoring in a struggling church and just the challenges. And so Carol Whistler was an individual for me, and that had stuff. Jim Harden, another gentleman. Just, you know, 18 months, 2 years, these guys. Then I got teachers. Anybody got some teachers? You know, Dr. Hyatt down at Cal Baptist. Dr. Charles McKay down at Cal Baptist. You know, over at Golden Gate Seminary, there were some teachers over there that just in those 2 or 3 years had an impact in my life. You know, they said something. They inspired me. I still remember Dr. Charles McKay. He had this saying. He always said, let's see, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that, and he bless his holy name. He always quoted, every day he'd come to class quoting that scripture. Then we had Mr. and Mrs. Jennings. They were not the best teacher. We called her the stump. Because anybody have teachers? Anybody name your teachers? Come on now, you don't act so innocent. You know, she'd stand behind the podium, and she would not move the whole time. And she'd lecture. And so we called her the stump. You know, never moved. You know, and her husband was one of the other teachers. But what I loved about them was they loved God and they were missionaries. And he gave his health on the mission field. And he wasn't healthy anymore, but now he was serving God, teaching young students about God. And I enjoyed him. I still remember those teachers. Dr. Hyatt, I enjoyed him. Greek and all this stuff. They're just amazing teachers. Most likely to give you an F in class, and that was true. That was what he was known for. Anybody got teachers like that? Yeah. And so, you know, they had these short-term, occasional mentors. And then I have supportive friends. Yeah. There's those friends that kind of walk with you through life, that are kind of there with you. And last night, I pulled out my Cal Baptist yearbook. You know, well, I can tell you what years it was. 75, 76, 78, somewhere in that ballpark. That's how long I graduated. I remember one of the guys, I called him Bob Mitchell, found out his name was George. I always knew him as Bob. You know, but he gave me some opportunities to preach. You know, I wanted to preach. I wanted to pastor. And Bob says, hey, I'm going to go on vacation. How about taking 2 Sundays for me? And so from that time on, you know what? I got to preach almost every Sunday after that time. He gave me an open door. And so there's individuals that, there's those friends, you know, Bruce Lane, a pastor over in Empire. I've enjoyed the fellowship I've had here in Salida. I've enjoyed the time with Kevin that's across the street hall, that's up the street here. You know, I'm really struggling now because both those guys are moving on, and it's kind of like, it's been the best time having those guys here in town and having time to spend with them. Yeah. We need those relationships, those supportive friendships that help us and that walk with us. But then I also have this one. How about negative mentors? We can also learn from those who fail, from those who make mistakes, from those who falter. When I first became a Christian, and I decided I was going to be a pastor, God had called me to be in the ministry, I started meeting with my pastor, Arthel Lehman. I'll talk about him later on. And he was in his 60s at the time, and I was 19 years old. And every time I met with him, he would always say this, you got to watch out for sexual purity in your life as a pastor. And every time, you got a 19, 20-year-old and a 60-year-old man, and my thought was, this man's crazy. You know, every time we met, he brought that. He said, you have to have a window in your office door. Give me all sorts of instruction about guarding your life in this area as a leader and as a pastor. He drilled this in. And so I'm 19, 20 years old. I'm thinking, this guy's just, he's just hung up on sex. 60-year-old man hung up on sex, you know. I'm a 19, 20-year-old kid, and I didn't think anything about it. But then I finally go to college, I go to seminary, and I get out of seminary, I go to pastor a church. The first year in ministry, 5 individuals that I knew personally had affairs in their life. 5 pastors had affairs. 2 of the guys had a dining room table while we were going to seminary and ate at my house. One of them worked on my car and fixed my car while we were going to school. You know what? That made an impact on my life. You ask the men in the church, I tell them all the time, what are some of my rules? You never get in a car with another woman that ain't your wife. Period. You don't go in the house with another woman. And you ask the guys, I've said this over and over, this negative thing in this individual's life taught me some things that I had developed some guardrails. I did a sermon on that just to kind of tell you, my guardrail isn't here. My guardrail is way back here. So I got a lot of room if I accidentally go over it. I've had a meeting, get a phone call. Hey, we're going to have a meeting. Okay, I'm going to meet. Then all of a sudden I show up at the meeting. Oh, we're going out. And I'm going out for lunch for a meeting with 2 women. It's like, what am I going to do? Laura, guess what? No? I caught it over here. Yeah, I stepped over the guardrail. But man, I made sure I had accountability. I made sure there was nothing. See, that negative mentor taught me something. Have you learned from somebody who made a mistake? I'm going to tell you what, we'll learn a lot more from mistakes than we ever learn from what we do right. You know, and that's the truth. So there's negative mentors. How about this one? I put reverse mentors. Now, just so you know, this is one I love. Usually mentoring is the older one helping a younger person, right? But there's a reverse mentor where we can learn from the younger ones. And this is where you need to know, most of the people I listen to today, most of the people I read today are younger than me. When I came to this church, there was only one person younger than me in this church when I came to this church. And she's catching up to me now. Are you right, Linda? You're catching up, right? Linda was the only person in this church younger than me. Yeah. Still am. See, go by percentages, though. She's catching up if you go by percentages. Yeah. So it's fun. But, you know, I do. I mean, Ed Young Jr., Greg Rochelle, Andy Stanley, these are pastors that I listen to, and they're all younger. Because I want my message to speak to the younger generation. I want them to hear the word, so I want to learn from these younger ones. That's who I want to go see. When I go visit churches, like I said, I'm in Texas. I'm trying to find a church to go visit when I'm seeing my daughter-in-law graduate basic. Ed Young Jr.'s church is around the corner. Guess where I go? I want to learn from these younger ones. What's going on? How do you touch generation? How do I make the message go real to those who are younger than me? I want my grandkids to hear the message. Anybody? I want my grandkids to cross that invisible line. If you're an old man, and I'm not old yet, okay? You know, you got to learn from the young ones. You got to be willing to learn from anybody. And we can learn from, I can learn from anybody. I want to encourage you there. So reverse, sometimes you need to hear from the younger ones, from those who are speaking. So I'm serious. I read about who's grown to the younger churches. What are they doing to reach the millennials? What are they doing to reach this generation? What are they doing to reach this? How do you share the message of God? I talk about Pokemon. Now, I don't even know what Pokemon is, okay? I'll be honest with you. I don't even know anything about Pokemon. But I'll talk about it. It's some kind of a game that you guys play, even in church, okay? You know? It's just an... But we got to touch that. I want to encourage you there. You can reverse. And then the last one is spiritual fathers and mothers. These are those who are mature, those who you can look up to and experience life with. And, you know, as I thought about this, I told you my pastor, Arthel Lehman, he was the one pastor of the church when I got saved, and I crossed that invisible line. And somebody comes to this church one time, and her family, they finally accept Christ, and they want to get baptized, but they want to get baptized. I never baptized anybody in the river. You know, I got a baptistry thing right here. You know, I just drown you right there. We don't have to go to no river. You know? And so it's like, okay, so it's like, I don't know what to do. So pick up the phone. Brother Arthel, Brother Lehman, somebody wants to get baptized in the river. Any wisdom for me? He goes, yeah, baptize them head up river. Okay. Why? He says, the water will push them up and not down when you bring them back up. Okay? Yeah. I didn't know. I had no idea, so I had to ask. He's kind of, you know, he was, you know, that spiritual father. Bill Sims. Bill Sims, an evangelist. I met Bill Sims. I come to this church, and again, I'm just a kid. Still a kid, okay? I was just a kid. And I had never did a revival, never did anything like that. And we wanted to have a revival in our church. And it's like, I don't know what to do. I had no idea. Well, one day Bill Sims is preaching at a pastor's breakfast association. And he had just got back from Amsterdam from the Billy Graham International Evangelism Conference. Bill Sims had the gift of evangelism. He just had this gift of evangelism. He was a police officer in Houston, became a believer, and had a ministry on the beaches, on the beach in Corpus Christi. He baptized 300 teenagers. Now, you go back to the 60s when he was doing this. He baptized 300 kids in the ocean off of in the Gulf of Mexico. That was his gift. And so I said, Bill, can you come and help me do a revival? And at that point, he became a personal friend and journeyed with me. If I had to pick a spiritual father for me now, one person, it'd be Bill Sims. I just love that. He just had the gift. He was so fun to go around with. We're in a meeting in Pasadena, and we get in an elevator. And so we're sitting in the elevator, and we push the button to go up, and some guy gets on the gut, and the guy goes, oh, down. Bill goes, no, you don't want to go down. Let me tell you about Jesus. I mean, he just had this gift. I mean, you know, and we're sitting at some lady's house over here visiting. I've been witnessing to her, talking with her, and she hadn't crossed the line. And we're sitting at her house, and on the wall is this picture of a cowboy. And the cowboy's on his horse on one side, and there's a canyon, and this cow's on the other side. And so we're sitting there just visiting with the lady, and Bill goes, I like your picture. And he starts talking about the picture, and then he goes, that picture kind of our relationships with God. That we're kind of separated from God, and there's no way to get across until Jesus. And I mean, he just had this gift. I've been at McDonald's and watched him do it. I watched him get out of a car and give a guy, we're getting ready to park our car, a valet parking at a restaurant, and he starts witnessing to the guy. He just had this gift. And so he became a spiritual mentor to me. He's like a spiritual father to me. Laura and I went up and celebrated his birthday. He's up north of here somewhere now. And we spent the night, went over and had a birthday party with him and everything. See, we need to have these in our lives. You need to have those in your lives. Look at what it says here. We felt so strongly about you that we were determined to share with you not only good news of God, but also our lives. Why don't you circle that? Our lives. That's how dear you were to us. That's what mentoring is. Sharing our life. These individuals that I shared, who's sharing their life with you? Who's walking along you? Who's with you? Who's part of your life? Who's mentoring you? We need these. It's biblical and it's necessary in our life to have those walking with us. We're gonna falter. We're going to fall. We're going to have struggles. We're going to have battles. But I want my life to be better. And I need somebody I'm walking with. I need individuals I'm walking with. I still call and talk to Bill Sims. Bill Sims and I went to Oakland, to Acorn. And you need to know, I literally ran this Oakland with Bill. We ran through Acorn District in Oakland one night at 9 o'clock at night. You know, I passed out papers. I've been all over. You know, how would you like to go to the Cantaloupe Festival in Fireball? Anybody? You know, I've been to the Fireball Cantaloupe Festival with Bill, sharing God's word. And it's there's opportunities, and we need those in our lives. And so I just want to encourage you. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you some ideas right now. How do you get a mentor? What do you do, mentor? You need somebody. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. Anybody here want to be wise? Not a wise guy, but wise. Oh, the rest of you guys want to be dumb? You know, we all want to be, at least I hope you do. You know, we all want wisdom. I want to make wise decisions. I want to make wise choices. I already made enough dumb choices in my life, okay? Anybody else? I already made enough of those dumb ones. I don't want to make any more. You know, whoever walks with the wise become wise, but a companion of the fool will suffer harm. Is that true? Is that really, I mean, it's God's word. Is that true? Has anybody ever seen that happen? Maybe, hopefully it's not you, right? But we see it. So here's what I have here. I'm going to make this as simple as I can, because this is not complicated, okay? I want you, when you walk out of here, to think about who can walk with me, all right? So here's the first question you need to ask. In what area of my life, ask yourself, it's not ask somebody else, it's ask yourself, who in what area of your life do you most want to grow? In what your life do you most want to grow? Bill Sims was evangelism for me. Arthel Lehman was just experience. Tom Rainer and those guys and all these young pastors, I want to learn to reach the younger generation. I want to touch the 19, the 20, the 25, 26-year-olds. I want them to know the message of Jesus Christ. And so where do you want to grow the most? What area of your life do you feel I need this? Is it marriage? Is it finances? Is it business? Is it spiritual? Is it ministry? Is it working with children? Working with preschoolers? Working with teenagers? Where do you want to grow? What area of your life do you want to strengthen the most? And you know, what is it? And then what are your expectations? What is it? What do you want to do? Like I say, for me, right now in my life, what I want to do is I want to learn to reach the young generation. That's my heart. You know, because, you know, as we get older, it's less likely to become a believer. Did you know that? The older you get, the less likely you are to cross that invisible line. That's why I want to get them Vacation Bible School, Awana, State Youth Conference. That's why I want to get them there. And so I want to make sure I reach that younger generation. That's my path I want to grow. That's why I read Tom Rainer and Ed Young and Andy Stanley and Greg Grishel and I just go on. I don't know. I can't even remember some of the guys' names in these churches. Rick Warren was a year ahead of me at Cal Baptist. When, you know, 20,000 members. You know, he has 7,000 Bible studies every week. Think about that. I love that. Now, I want to learn from those guys. How do you get people plugged into Bible study every week? I'm excited about today's Bible study. Who's in my Bible study group? Anybody here? Yeah, there we are. Going out for dinner. We're going to Sacramento. My Monday night group is going to Sacramento Buckhorn Barbecue today. See, you gotta get a home group that parties. Come on. You know, we're gonna drive up to Sacramento and have barbecue tonight. So you want to join my group? We're having fun. But see, you need those mentors, you need that in your life. Where do you want to grow the most? How about the second question here? Who are some of the people who can offer the most information and experience in helping you? I give you some blank places, okay? I want you walking out of here better than you are when you came in. That's my prayer. That you have some tools to, you know, yeah, I went to the gym and I showered. I'm clean. Didn't step on a machine. Didn't lose an ounce. But I went and took a shower. I don't want that to be church. I want it to be more. I want you better off when you walk out that door. Let me help you. I want you to write a word down. Write pray down there. Write somewhere over there. Write pray. Pray about it. God, who can speak to me? Who do I need to speak? What do I need to learn? Who, you know, God, I want to grow in this area of my life, and who can, you know, God's the best God is the best matchmaker. God, ask him to give you wisdom. Take some time to pray about it. You know, God, I need somebody. And maybe you don't need, maybe it's just, you know, God, I don't have anybody. I want somebody. Life is just beating me up, and I can't get a grip on life. Who? Pray about it. The second thing here, I'm going to put this down there. Ask them. Ask. Ask them, will you help me? Will you be there for me? You know? Tell them what you need. Just ask. You know, I need somebody to help me. Like, pick the phone up and call Arthel. Arthel, how do you baptize somebody in a river? I have no idea. I want to baptize somebody in the ocean. I do. I want to go to the. I've been in the river. I've been in lakes. I want to go to the ocean. You know, maybe just go out there and let it stand and watch it crush over you. I don't know how to do it there, but it'd be fun to try. Yeah. Then I don't have to do anything. Just hold you up. Ugh, here comes the wave. Held still. Mentors, who do you need? Who is that for you? And then ask them. Can you spend some time? Can we just take an hour a week? You know, let's just sit at Starbucks. And let's go to Starbucks with me. And let's just talk. You can Google. I was going to get. I have all sorts of stuff at home. 20 questions to ask and all sorts of stuff like that. But okay, now here, I don't want to stop there. Listen, you need a mentor, but also you need to be a mentor, okay? Not only do you need a mentor, but you need to be a mentor. I don't care what age you are, all right? Listen, I don't care if you're a child. Those preschoolers are looking to you. You know, if you're a high schooler, those children are watching you. If you're a college student, those teenagers are watching you. We need to see that. And so you need to be a mentor. You need to understand you need to be. Here's what the scripture says. Again, this is Paul. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Do you see the picture Paul painted here? I've invested in you. Now you invest in somebody who can invest in somebody. You get the picture what he's saying here? So I'm going to ask you this. Who are you investing? Who are you investing your life in? Who are you taking some time in your life? I'm going to give you a little hint here, just so you know. When you get to heaven, your car's not going with you. When you get to heaven, your home won't be there. You're going to have a better mansion than you had here, okay? Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about your job. When you get to heaven, what's going to be there? People. People. And here's the reward I want in heaven. I'm not looking for a giant mansion. I'm not looking for a seat next to Jesus. I'm looking, and I'm excited. And I want somebody to walk up to me and say, Gary, thank you for being there for me. Thank you for sharing your life with me. To me, that's the glory, that's the crown I want in heaven. The joy of being an impact in somebody's life. That I made a difference. And so I put it this way, invest in someone else. Invest. All right? You don't have to know everything. I don't know everything. I might tell my grandkids, they ask me a question, yeah, I know everything. I don't know everything. I know very little. But I know Jesus. I know Jesus loves you. I know Jesus has a plan for your life. He wants to bless you and cause you to prosper. I know he wants to open the windows of heaven and pour out his blessings upon you. I know God loves you and has grace for you. He has mercy for you. I know God will never leave you nor forsake you. I know. That's what I know. And that's what I want to pass on. I want all to know the love of Jesus Christ. And I'm willing to walk. But I'm going to walk with others. Not just tell people what to do. Point out all the flaws and all the mistakes. But to walk. So I want to challenge you. Who's your mentors? And who are you mentoring? Who's your mentors? And who are you mentoring? Who are you investing your life in? Because that's what's going to go with you. That's what you're taking with you. It's the experience. It's the people. So I put it this way at the bottom of the page. A mentor is simply a wiser, older Christian whose life has something to teach you about living for Christ. So who's walking with you? Who you're walking with? Have you crossed that line? Is Jesus living in you? Are you just, I'm going to the gym and I'm taking a shower every day. That's it. I went to the gym today. What'd you do? I took a shower. I'm going to the gym today. What are you going to do? Take a shower. Well, I'm going to tell you, get on something. My life verse, my inspirational music, my biblical mentor, and my spiritual mentors. Get on something. Because life is better when you walk with God. And you walk with us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. That you do love us. Lord, that none of us are perfect. That we all falter. We all fail. We have various battles and various struggles. Different ones. It's not the same for each and every one of us. It's just different struggles. That, Lord, you love us and you pick us up and you strengthen us and you encourage us. But also in the midst of all that, Lord, you give us one another. You give us others who can step alongside of us or who we can step alongside of. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe this morning you need somebody to mentor you and you just don't know. You got an area in your life and marriage or money or school or work or relationships somewhere broken. I don't know what it is. And you just want a mentor. Maybe it's a spiritual growth and you need somebody to mentor you and you want me to pray for you to find a mentor. Would you just shoot your hand up? Just shoot your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you. I see those. Lord, you've seen the hands of these who have a heart to walk with somebody. Lord, we're not designed to live in isolation, to live alone. We're designed for one another. A relationship with you and a relationship with others. Lord, I pray for these that you will bring somebody into their life to touch that need. But not only to touch it, but to walk with them. To be with them, to share their heart and their life. Not just words, but to share life. That you'll find one, Lord, who can be to them like Paul was to Timothy, like Barnabas was to Paul, like Moses was to Joshua, Omi was to Ruth. Lord, that we can follow their example and be people united as one, strengthened in Jesus with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I always give an invitation in our church. Invitation is real simple. I'm just here to pray with you. I don't know. Maybe you've never crossed that invisible line. Maybe you need to cross that line. Maybe, I was baptized, but I've never really given my life to God. I've never really said, God, I want to do it your way. You throw your life and your life's out of control. Maybe you need to make that decision. I'm here to pray about that. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Spend my life and take control. Maybe you prayed that and you just got a lot of battles right now and you just need some encouragement. I'm here to pray with you. Maybe there's some other needs in your life, but this is time for God to speak to your heart and for me to minister to you. So we call it an invitation and I'm just here to minister. I'm here to share. I'm here to serve you as God speaks to your heart. So I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to sing. Then you come as the Spirit leads. So would you stand and sing this song as we give God the glory this morning?